I'm Tracy from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Are you a small business owner or even someone who dreams of entrepreneurship? Then check out season 2 of Mind the Business, small business success stories from iHeart Podcasts and Intuit QuickBooks. Join hosts Austin Hankwitz and Janice Torres as they interview entrepreneurs sharing insights around starting and nurturing a small business. You won't want to miss these inspiring stories of entrepreneurship and discovering ways to business differently so you can too.
Planning your next trip? Choice Hotels' family of 22 brands has over 7,400 locations and the perfect hotel for any traveler you want to be. Like a Cambria Hotel, serving up locally inspired craft cocktails for all my folks who maybe want to meet up and talk about Mad Royals. Check into a Radisson Hotel with flexible workspaces for you strivers who listen during business travel. Or a Comfort Hotel with free hot breakfast, family-friendly pools, and big spacious rooms for the parents who listen with their kids and need a little retreat. What are you waiting for? Join Choice Privileges and start earning points toward your next stay. Find a stay for any you when you book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Keener, joined by staff writer Jane McGrath.
Hey there, Candace.
Hey, Jane. I wanted to bring our listeners up to speed about a special fact about you they might not be aware of.
Oh, yeah?
And that's that, in addition to being a very fabulous history writer, Jane is also the website's resident money writer.
That's true.
And so she wrote this article that's technically for our money channel of the website, but it has such strong history overtones, or undertones, I'm not sure. Anyway, it alludes very strongly to history and facts that we thought you all might be interested in, so we decided to hijack it and present it to you today.
Yeah, it's a really cool subject and pretty fun because it's fun to imagine what life would be like as a president. You know, even though they have probably the most stressful job in the world, it's really fascinating to delve into all of these special perks and extras that they get just by virtue of being the chief executive of the United States.
And it's pretty controversial, some of these big financial perks that the president gets, because as you know, if you've been keeping up with the news, the Obama administration has really been cracking down on people from Wall Street and perks that people in the financial sector have been getting. And many of them have been lashing back at the president and saying, you know, you get a lot of perks too. And what's more, yours are tax-free, so who are you to say what we can and cannot have? You know, you cap the salary. The president's salary is capped by nature of, you know, the law. But he gets plenty of things on the side that have some people pretty worked up.
He doesn't even need a salary for all these other things
he
gets.
And two presidents in history have actually refused the salary. Do you know who they are?
Oh, I don't.
George Washington and JFK.
Oh.
I mean, JFK had tons of family money, so
that's true.
I kind of understand. But
George Washington, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess I'd kick it off with the White House, which is probably the most obvious of the presidential perks. All in all, there's about 132 rooms in the residential White House and 35 bathrooms. In addition to the standards of the swimming pool and the tennis courts and basketball courts, you've got the jogging track and the putting green, which just sounds so much fun.
I know. The real estate ad really writes itself, but it's off the market, you guys. And in addition to the pursuits for active presidents and first families, if you're a little bit more sedentary, well, that's working in your favor, too, because there are at least five chefs in the White House, including a full-time pastry chef. And if you are an appreciator of fine art, you'd be happy to know that the president can request different works of art to be brought in from the National Gallery on loan. And I actually have a personal anecdote about this. You may not be surprised to know that I have people, and I got to go on a very behind-the-scenes tour of the White House a couple of years ago, during which I saw the White House kitchen, which is much, much smaller than you may have thought.
Really? Yeah, I've seen pictures, actually. It did seem small from
the
pictures.
Yeah. And I saw the florist, and I got to meet the resident florist there, as well as George Bush's cat. That was pretty cool.
Aww.
And the point of the story is about works of art, because my source told me that during the Clinton administration, Hillary Rodham Clinton was a very active art enthusiast, and she very much enjoyed swapping out the different works of art. And one time she wanted a very heavy and unwieldy piece of sculpture brought into one of the gardens, and it was a huge production to get this thing put down safely. And of course the curator was there, you know, just fretting back and forth the whole time that something would happen, but it was put into place, and I think it was taken out undamaged, unscathed. So funny story about that. Only if you are president and first lady can you command a huge unwieldy piece of sculpture to be put into the garden.
Isn't that nice? Yeah, that's awesome. And that's in addition to the super expensive fancy furniture that they get as well, right?
Yeah.
In the White House?
They get $100,000 to redecorate the White House.
Right.
And as you may know from reading my blog, the Obamas elected not to take that and to use their own money to redecorate. But in addition to that money, the president also gets to choose from an array of historical desks that have been used by other presidents. So, you know, for instance, someone could use the desk that Lincoln had used.
That's so cool.
I know. I know. Think about all the historical documents that were signed on that thing, all the different speeches written.
Emancipation Proclamation.
There you
That's
go.
Awesome.
And all manner of rugs.
Oh, yeah.
I heard that the rugs are just stacked right on top of each other, and they're so heavy. They have to get huge machines in to lift them up so that the president first lady can see them.
And there was talk recently about changes that Obama made, especially the Oval Office, I guess. Mm-hmm. He took out a bust of Winston Churchill, and did he bring in a new rug? Or I remember talk about the rug in the Oval Office.
I'm not sure there was some talk about that.
But in terms of money, you mentioned the florists. The flowers alone, one source I found said that they cost about more than $250,000 per year.
That's wild.
Yeah, and upkeep alone for the entire White House is about $4 million a year. So it's a sweet pad they've got there.
It definitely is. So if you've got a great house, the next obvious perk would be great modes, plural, of transportation. We're talking about the presidential limo, the two Boeing 747s, Air Force One and Marine One.
Yeah, and Air Force One, it's kind of weird because technically whatever plane the president is on is referred to as Air Force One, as the radio call name. But, you know, in common parlance, you know, we talk about Air Force One specifically talking about these really awesome planes, the Boeing 747s that you mentioned. And there are two of them, actually. And I think sometimes when they take the president out, one acts like a decoy, partly to carry cargo and partly to carry staff, which that kind of sucks to be a decoy and to be flying on a decoy as a staff member. But anyway, the Air Force One planes that we're talking about carry up to 70 passengers, which is not including the 26-person crew. And there are special areas for staff, even media, and security, of course.
And the president has his own workout room.
Yeah,
isn't that nice?
It's wild, yeah. In addition to a really nice office and bathroom and bedroom, even. Can you imagine having a bedroom on a plane? That's awesome. And like you mentioned,
Jane is really, really excited about this. I think to you, presidential perks is what medieval torture is to me. We both have our own little areas of fancy.
Mine makes more sense. I'm sorry. You have, we're talking about the middle level of the plane. There's actually multiple levels. The upper level, you have the cockpit, the telecommunications center, and on the bottom level is for cargo. But you don't really need a whole lot of space for cargo because there are other special planes, C-141 Starlifter cargo planes, that carry actually the motorcade of the president, and they send the limos, the armored limos, to wherever the president is headed.
Including places like perk number three, Camp David, which is the super private getaway of the president. And when it was originally built, I think it cost only, $25,000 to build?
Yeah, it's not much, but it's been renovated so much, and it's such a nice relaxing place. And it's the fact that it's ultra secure. Like, it's got super, super strong security.
And ultra close. It's only an hour's drive from D.C.
Not that he needs to drive, though. He takes the helicopter.
He takes the helicopter. And it was renamed Camp David during the Eisenhower administration. And that was after his grandson, which I think is incredibly sweet.
That's really cute. But I don't know. I like the first name. Shangri-La, yes. And named after the Tibetan utopia in the book Lost Horizon.
And the Stevie Nicks solo album, right?
That's right.
Yes.
There you go.
It's got 11 different cabins, a pool, its own skeet shooting range, and its own private office cabin so the president can get some work done while he's there
so
as well.
So even though it's kind of a relaxing place to go, it's still a place of business. And you probably remember it. It's most known for when President Carter used Camp David as a place for peace talks between the Egyptian president and the Israeli prime minister in 78. And what's interesting about Camp David is that, unlike the White House, you mentioned you had a behind-the-scenes tour of that. That's awesome, but Camp David is completely closed to the public. Like,
well, I hate to break it to you, but no, you're right. I'm
no, okay. I was like, oh, I read. High authority. So yeah, it's weird that unlike the White House, it's closed to the public. It's even more secure than the White House in that way. And it's nice also because it's on top of a mountain. And so growing up in D.C., I know how hot that city can get. And so you have much, I think about 10 degrees cooler temperatures up on top of that mountain at Camp David.
And in addition to all of these wonderful perks that the president gets to enjoy while he's in office, other little ones being things like having your family around the office. You know, they live there. It's also your office. It's nice. You know, your kid can come in and just say, hey, Dad, how's it going?
Yeah, I know. I like working from home.
Flexible work hours. As we know, during the George W. Bush administration, he liked to go in early, take a little break to go work out, and then come back. And I think Reagan was pretty famous for actually taking naps during the workday, which is a luxury we do not have yet around the HowStuffWorks office, but fingers crossed. I smell a petition going on. You get free soda from Pepsi and Coke, and like I mentioned before, complimentary M&Ms.
Oh,
isn't that nice?
That's really nice.
So in addition to all these little perks you get while you're in office, you may be happy to know, too, that the president is taken care of after he leaves office. And since 1958, all presidents have gotten a pension. And this is particularly happy news for people like poor Thomas Jefferson, who, as you may recall from the Monticello podcast, actually died more than $100,000 in debt.
Ooh.
And he would have been in luck had he had a much later administration, because as of March 2008, the pension was $191,300 annually.
Not too shabby.
In addition to a staff, an office supplies, and Jane, you pointed out the ex-presidents also get phone services.
Yeah, they get all the extra perks for their office. And it's interesting you mentioned Thomas Jefferson, because back when I was researching First Ladies, Dolly Madison actually died pretty poor, because I think one of her relatives, after James Madison died, after her relatives kind of squandered her money, and she died pretty poor, which is, now widows are more or less taken care of as well if they want to be. It's interesting the wives or the spouses of ex-presidents also get benefits. They get a pension if they want to, but a caveat to that is that they have to waive the right to any annuity or pension under any other legislation. And this became an issue for Nancy Reagan and Betty Ford. They didn't want to waive this right, so they actually didn't get that pension. But LBJ's widow did, until she died just recently in 2007. And what's interesting, another point about the wives of ex-presidents, is Hillary Clinton is an interesting situation, because she's, in addition to being a spouse of a former president, she's a senator now, or she just was, before being Secretary of State. She, while she was senator, got protection shared by the U.S. Capitol Police, who usually handle the senators, and the Secret Service, who usually handle the spouses of ex-presidents. So it's just interesting to see how widows are handled, especially when they take on more roles.
And you think that this may be superfluous, but our country has no monarchy. We obviously have no royal members of a family to take care of. And the president and his wife would be the closest thing to royalty that we have. And to consider how much a president, even an unpopular president, puts into his office, you wouldn't want to think of him or his widow living in squalor.
Yeah, that's true. And you want them to be able to focus, you know, on the job that they were hired to do.
And what's more, even after the president and the first lady leave the White House, their names continue to carry a lot of power. And right. as we mentioned in the First Lady podcast, they can attach their names to many different causes and really continue to make a difference out of office. And President Jimmy Carter even famously said that he's made a bigger difference out of office mm-hmm. than he ever did as president. And if you don't know, Jimmy Carter and Rosalynn Carter are very active at the Carter Center, and they're still working very hard as philanthropists and making people aware of different causes around the world, like free voting rights and Guinea worm eradication. So it's important that the president is given the tools that he needs to continue his work.
Definitely. And another interesting part about being a former president is that they usually get a presidential library. And every president except for Nixon since Herbert Hoover has gotten his own library. And recently, George W. Bush has gotten some press because he's made a lot of money really quickly. And he made more than $100 million for the library in the first 100 days after he left office, which is, you know, record-setting pace. And his library is scheduled to open 2013. So you have this library, which is raised by private funds, but the archivist actually gives the president's official records and papers over to this library and manages it for him or her. One interesting thing that I found researching the retirement perks is, like you mentioned, Candace, this didn't start, the former president didn't start getting perks until 1958. And back in 1912, there was talk about giving them perks because Andrew Carnegie actually said that he wanted to start giving a pension to these former presidents, which sounds really nice, but yeah. Congress found this kind of inappropriate coming from a private donor.
I would say so.
Yeah, you can see a sort of, mixed motivations there, maybe. But, so Congress was like, no, we don't want that. And so they introduced legislation to start giving them a pension, but that died. So they weren't ready to do it either. So unfortunately, it went another about 4 decades. Finally, in the 50s, poor Truman was suffering. He's struggling to pay and hire a staff. So Congress finally passed that legislation in 58, thank goodness. So.
And another perk, if you can call it a perk, is that when former presidents die, their funerals are paid for, and they get a very grand state funeral.
Yeah, which at least takes the burden off of the families.
It does, which is very important. And prior to their deaths, they receive medical treatment at military hospitals, and they continue to have security perks throughout their golden years. So as you can see, there are definitely a lot of advantages to being president of the United States. You get the $400,000 a year salary, your $100,000 in expenses, and a very hefty entertainment account that is renewed annually. But I believe that whatever you don't use at the end of the year goes back into the funds.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So what is there not to love about being president? Well, for one, you become a little out of touch with the world sometimes.
And
this, of course, depends on the president. I think some presidents are more in touch than others. Although I will say, I don't believe Bill Clinton jogged McDonald's too much toward the end of his term. I think that was just in the very beginning. But Ed Rogers, who was deputy assistant to the president and executive assistant to the White House chief of staff during the George H.W. Bush administration, I told a little anecdote about going to McDonald's once when he was traveling with Ronald Reagan, and apparently someone gave Reagan a $50 bill to pay for lunch, and Ed Rogers said he looked like he didn't know what to do with it.
Really?
And if you're president
yeah.
and you have this expense account and everything is being done for you, I can imagine that you know, things like that would be unsettling when you're just a common person again, or you're thrust into the world. But presidents do have to pay for stuff. They may have White House chefs, but presidents have to pay for the groceries. They have to pay for their personal care items. So you can request anything you want cooked, but if you haven't actually footed the bill at the grocery store, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And another downside to being president, the anti-perks, if you will, is that everyone has an opinion about what you do. And I think with the Obama administration, even so early in the game, this has been a huge deal. And I think that the American public, and not even just the American public, maybe the international public, has been very nitpicky about this family. For instance, the dog little Bo Obama, before Bo Obama came to be, mm-hmm. there was much debate about whether the Obamas would get a purebred dog, whether they should adopt one. And as you'll recall, they had special concerns about their daughter's health since she had allergies to dogs. It was very important that Aww. They got one that was, you know, I think more allergy friendly.
Right, right.
And a story that really piqued my interest, since I'm interested in fashion and style, was Oscar de la Renta getting on to Mrs. Obama for some of her choices of attire, wanting to see her wearing more American designers, nitpicking the items that she had chosen. And he even commented, "You don't go to Buckingham Palace in a sweater," because she did. She had on a little stylish cardigan. So bearing that sort of criticism is pretty rough.
Yeah. And in addition to that, I mean, like, one of the perks we alluded to earlier was the Marine One helicopter. And, you know, that started a controversy because it ended up being much more expensive than it originally was thought to be. And this, of course, was this program was started to before Obama came in. Mm-hmm. So during when he was campaigning and he heard how expensive it was getting, he was like, oh, we need to take a closer look at that. And it's tough because he's inherited all these super expensive things. And like, is it worth it for security? And
right.
and is it worth stopping a program? Like, that's a waste of money for all this money that's gone into it, you know?
It's sort of a darned if you do and darned if you don't situation.
Right.
And as you may recall, Alice Waters was being very vocal about the Obamas' choice of White House chef and encouraging them to have an organic vegetable garden on the White House property, and even trying to make recommendations about the Secretary of Agriculture. And one of our bloggers here, Sarah Dowdy, who's our green editor, blogged about Mrs. Obama having planted a garden, and how all was well and good. Maybe she was able to appease Alice Waters and her camp of followers. And then not too long ago, she was actually petitioned by the Mid-America Crop Life Association to put fertilizer and pesticides on her organic garden. So you can't really win sometimes
if
you're president or first lady.
It's a tough job.
Definitely. So as you were saying, some of these perks may seem like luxuries, but other ones like security, for instance, are just necessities.
Yeah. And some presidents have actually wanted to, or at least dependents have wanted to opt out of the security. You can imagine how awkward it is to go around everywhere with security guards, the disadvantages of that sort of perk. And it wasn't until 84 that the law was passed to allow the president and his dependents to opt out of that security, which is interesting.
And when people leave the HowStuff Works office, we actually offer security detail for our more notable workers here, like our bloggers and our podcasters. And it used to be that Marshall Brain did that, but he's been keeping really busy. So now our producer, Jerry Rowland, follows people around and sharing that they're safe from the masses of adoring fans. And
it's a little creepy, honestly.
it really is. So my question is, Jane, what do you think about that?
I'm not so sure. It actually turns out that I'll have to face that decision soon because I'm actually leaving the HowStuff Works office. I'll be moving out of the area and sadly leaving behind all my colleagues and you, Candace, and I will cry.
I'll cry too. And you can't see tears
through
your headphones listening to this podcast, but you should know that Jane has been such an important and significant addition to the Stuff You Missed in History Class podcast. It's a totally different creature now than when it first started almost a year ago. And I really appreciate the quiet dignity and intelligent conversation she's brought, and especially all of her facts about the Crusades and the history of the Catholic Church. She's really
you can see how I light up with the Catholic Church.
Yes, she's great at it.
It's been a joy being able to record with you, Candace. You're always effervescent, and you make history really exciting. Even when my dry interpretations, you're able to spin it something happy and fun.
I wouldn't call it dry, but Jane has promised that she'll continue listening to the podcast. And
definitely.
I certainly hope that even though there will be a notable absence here, that all of you will continue doing the same. And until next time, you can read more about presidential perks and other great presidential history on the website at HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the Stuff You Missed in History Class blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
From iHeart Podcasts.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
I'm Paul Pringle, an investigative reporter for the LA Times. Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.